welcome to episode 187 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Lindsay, Donna, Elizabeth, and Laura. Travel agents are planners. It's what we do. That doesn't, however, mean that we plan every minute of our vacations, although my husband will tell you that. Some people like to wing it, and we get that. And some people like an outline. Some like to know what they're doing every day, and some have some must-dos that are essential. Whatever your travel style, we wanted to talk about the pros and cons of each and make you think about whether you might want to switch it up next time. So let's get started.
So let's do something fun just to start off. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being I don't like to plan anything, like I don't even like to have all my hotels planned out, to 5 being I would really like to know every single minute of every day, even if it's going to be I'm going to relax for 2 hours. Where do you fall? So we'll start with you, Sandy, because you already...
I used to be a 5, and now I'm a 4.
A 4? But your husband might not agree. Donna, what about you?
I'm a 5. I like... Even I plan out my time for free time.
Yeah, I knew we had one. I knew we did. Laura?
Well, I like to know what I'm going to do, but in saying that, I'm definitely not that packet full, but I do like to know, I'm one of those people who does like to know kind of what the next few days going to look like. So maybe somewhere around 3.5 or 4.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Lindsay?
So, okay. I think in general, I'm a 5, but I have a confession. When I am traveling with one of you, like Sandy... I really enjoy just letting her pick whatever she wants us to do and just going with it. So I guess I kind of slide back and forth. If I'm by myself and I'm a total 5. I want to do everything I want to do and get it all done. If I'm going with other people, I'm like a 1 or 2. I don't know.
Yeah, I believe that. I think I'm a passive aggressive 2, because I used to be a 5, but I was always the one planning. So tied to what Lindsay, if it's confession time, I think I stopped planning every micro minute because nobody else was doing it and it was exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I thought if I stopped doing it, somebody else might do it. And I'm not talking just about my husband. I'm talking about anybody I travel with. But Sandy steps up.
She's a great travel partner. But, I just looked. We're traveling in a week together, and she's got all our stuff.
Yeah.
And it got us flight of passage.
I do love that about her. So I think it can vary, but in general, I think I prefer to be around a 2 or 3 now. I think I got used to sort of not planning as much out. So I will have must-dos like Laura, and I always want to know my hotels, and I'd never want to.
No, I would never just show up to a hotel.
Oh, yeah. That is my idea of a nightmare.
Yeah.
I don't even think I could do that if I was, like, driving across country. Like, you know how... Back in the day, my parents used to do this in the 70s or 80s, but like we'd be on a road trip and we'd just pull off the highway and get a hotel. I don't know that I could do that now.
That stops the first time you pull off the highway and you can't get a freaking hotel anywhere because there was a tornado like 2 days ago, and every single hotel for 5-hour drive.
Yeah.
It's completely
or there's some sort of street festival in that little town that you had no idea was going to happen.
Yeah,
I actually, somebody we all know is about to go to England this summer, and they're only getting their hotel in London, and then they're just going to drive around in the summer.
Wow.
So I can't wait to hear how it goes. I mean, I'm like half scared and half excited for them.
Well, I was going to say domestically, I don't mind doing that. And some of that is because a lot of what I do is either camping or outdoor stuff. And quite honestly... If I pull up and there's no hotel, I can pretty much find a rest stop and sleep in my car and find a YMCA somewhere and shower in the morning and go out to my next place.
Well, that's like and a 1. Wow.
I can kind of do that way.
So,
but internationally, I don't have that level of comfort.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a bigger, because it's a bigger commitment. And I think that those trips are, like, I'm looking at another potential Europe trip, and I don't even have anything solidified, and I'm already planning on what extra stuff I'm going to try and do. Because it's when you go out of the country, I think, and it depends on where you go out of the country too, because if it's a beach destination, I'm not planning anything. But for Europe, the thought of going without. And then here's the big thing. Even if you are a five, it's okay to be a five. Mm-hmm. I'm a five. It's okay. But you have to be able to let go.
Thank you. We love you all.
I'm a five.
But if you're a five, don't marry a two.
Don't marry a two and drag them all over the world. I did that. So, but I can also let go of my plan. You know, mm-hmm. I can go with a plan of a five and then just kind of, all right, I don't feel like doing this, or I want to do something else and change it up, and I'm okay. It's not going to I'm not going to need to call a counselor.
No. I'm the one, like, with my whole family going, no, you're going and you're going to like it.
We had a plan to do this.
You're definitely going.
I was married to you with a boy form. Hence the reason that people say Disney now and I crawl underneath the table and shake and quake. And
so for those of you who...
We came with our list and we were going at the time, you know, by 4:20 we have to be here. And like, 4:23 we have to be here. And, you know, and I'm more, you know, let's talk, you know, let's use Disney. I'm like an experiential thing. Look at those topiaries, they're so cool. Oh, and that little girl, she's seeing Mickey for the first time. Oh my God, let's watch. We have a schedule to do.
Yeah. So I'm more like you now that I've been a million times, but for that first trip with my husband, I really have to, 3 weeks, we were 3 weeks and we did everything you could possibly do. And it was all from like 6 a.m. to like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the morning.
Oh my God.
Every single minute of every single day. And then I wonder now, years later, why he will not, like, why it's like...
He doesn't remember it fondly.
You spell that vacation, I spell that hell.
Yeah.
See, we had our very first cruise, and we were so excited, and we wanted to do everything. And so some ports, we booked two shore excursions in the same day. And after running solid for, you know, a week, just like, I don't want to do that anymore. And so for the next one, we did the complete opposite. We booked no shore excursions, none. And we just kind of wandered on our own. It's like we needed to find that happy medium where we did a little bit of stuff, and then at other places we did nothing. So we've learned our lesson.
I think it was voice of reason.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we as travel agents kind of come in, because if I had had somebody look over my shoulder on my itinerary and say, well, would you like to breathe?
Mm-hmm. Let's walk you through your day.
You get so excited and you want to do everything and you're passionate and you want to have this great experience and you want to get as much as you can in there. And then I think even though we plan, you know, I plan for a living, but when I do my own, I can get on that runaway train just as fast as everybody else. And it's having somebody to kind of show you the reality, walk you through what that reality of that day is.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of times where people have a dream, and it's not necessarily that they're not going to do that dream, but they need a reality check on what that dream will cost them. And I've had situations. I had one lady who the family, she was taking her two kids to Greece. That was a graduation present for one of the kids, and the other kid was, you know, not quite graduated yet. But she's always wanted to go to Florence. So she was like, while we're in Greece, can we just pop over to Florence? It's like, well, I mean, you can, but this is what it's going to cost you. This is what's involved. And in that case, she decided it was worth it. And the conversation I had with her afterwards was, I'm so glad we went, but you were absolutely right 100%. I mean, like, I'm glad that we planned that really carefully, because it could have been really disastrous. And just over spring break, I had somebody who, big history buff, and they were going to England to see two soccer games, one in Manchester and one in London. But he really wanted to see the beaches of Normandy. I get that. But I got to tell you, you've got 1 week. You got two soccer games in the week, so your schedule is fixed for the first half of the trip because you have to be there for the soccer games. That's a long trip. You know, basically they had 2 days. They went over there, they had one full day to go out to Normandy, and then they had one day to hang out in Paris, and then they flew out the next morning. And it was, I mean, they had to really brace themselves for it. They're glad they did it. They came back, they were like, I'm so glad I did it, but absolutely right. It was a lot for one trip, and maybe, you know, we shouldn't have done that. So you're absolutely right, Lindsay. Sometimes it is good to have just a check and balance to say, all right, but you know what that's going to cost? Not financially, emotionally.
It's just your sanity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your ability to enjoy the rest of your trip or even process it, or when you come home and you're so tired you need a vacation to recoup from your vacation.
Yeah. Or you even end up resenting the dream because it cost you so much emotionally. Laura, what were you about to say?
One of the first trips that I planned as a custom trip was for two friends who wanted to cook their way through Italy. And they went for 13 days on November, December. And they did Venice, Florence, Bologna, Rome, and Naples. And when I talked to them after the trip, just to follow up with them and, you know, meet with them, kind of hear about it, they had a wonderful time. And the only they said two negative things. Number one, Rome is crazy. And number two, they said, the only thing we wished is that we thought, and I did try and warn them about this, but we thought that 2 days in each city would be plenty. But it was really after 2 days that we were just beginning to feel comfortable enough to kind of know our way around. Because what we had done, either not hop on hop, but like little walking tours. Mm-hmm. So that we just, and then to have to pack up and go to the next city. It's the next time we do a trip, we know we need to stay at least 3 days in a city. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, that was a, you know, for folks who are thinking about, we're going to go this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, you know, it's the, all that running and packing up and running and packing up and running and packing up, mm-hmm. oftentimes can feel a little bit like you came home more tired than when you left.
And checking in and out of hotels and, check out this time, check-ins this time, and you're, you know, coordinating all that is, you know, on paper it might, so we're going to be here this day for a day, but then when you look at your, you know, by the time I get there, I'm going to spend my whole day in a daze walking around, mm-hmm. not really getting to enjoy what I'm here to see. So mm-hmm. that's why it's important. I think it's so important to prioritize. I'm guilty of that. I want to do everything, but sometimes it really helps to have someone say, hey, what's the most important thing to you? What are your three most important things? Mm-hmm.
So I think if you are like the spontaneous type and you don't want to plan a bunch, one thing I think you should do is if there's something you see or you want, don't wait. Don't say, oh, I'll be here a couple days, I'll just get it later, because you might not see it again. Mm-hmm. Or you might have to, like, make a trip back to get it. Just go ahead and get it, you know? Mm-hmm. Or go ahead and do it, or, you know, whatever. Because I remember, like, one time I was in D.C. and I saw this shirt that I thought my brother-in-law would like. And I'm like, oh, but they're at all these little tchotchke places and I'll be able to get it. And I never saw it again. And I'm like, oh, I should have bought it when I saw it. Mm-hmm. I do that with souvenirs all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and for trip planning, I sort of want to transition because we talked a little bit about the fives and how exhausting that can be, and then we all have traveled with people who are the opposite of us, so Laura and I being more on the 2-3, maybe a 4 scale, traveling with you fives, that has been sort of an adventure in trip planning for me. I mean, obviously, if I'm traveling with a 5, I often just let the 5 plan it, because everybody's happier if the 5 just plans it, you know? I'm okay with whatever, and the 5 can just plan it.
I don't think that's really true, because I think I am a true 5, but I have no problem, like,
running somebody into the ground.
I have no problem releasing the reins.
Yeah.
Sandy, we've traveled together, I don't know how many times. Have I ever planned or anything that we've done together? Nothing.
No. Well, so the last time we were at Disney, we did have to make that special trip to Trader Sam's to get your tiki mug.
Okay, so But that wasn't me, like, detailing out an entire day.
Right. No, it was like, we were at Magic Kingdom, and we were a little tired, and we're like, oh, we could go over to Polynesian and get some work done. And so
yeah.
We went over there and got some drinks. And
one time I ran my husband to the ground, like, 15 years ago.
But I think the point Elizabeth makes, that especially as we're talking, you know, to this audience, is to make sure that you have a travel agent who's planning the trip that you want to take, mm-hmm. not the trip that, you know, if you're two and they're planning a five trip, you know, it's really important that you speak up and say.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you're in a, you know, if you're going with a group of people, or you, there's more than one of you, it's important in the group that if the person who's the two says, well, I'd really like to do this, mm-hmm. that you really listen and consider their one request if they're going to go along with all the other plans.
Yeah.
So I think there's, you know, I tend to be, I don't even know if I'm on the scale, but like a relational traveler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for me, the joy is not in all the things. I don't ever remember going with all the things I was going to get to see. As long as there's a sunset and a sunrise and stars overhead, everything else is golden. And I'm much more about the relationship and the moment. And, you know, even my husband used to say, I'll just leave you with the waiter. You know, because I just love, you know, talking to those folks, meeting folks in other cities, hearing about what their family does and what they do. You know, so I think to, you know, I really make sure that you're not only are you speaking your needs to your travel agent, but they're hearing you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Well, and one job that I find myself having to do with my own family, so I try to be very good about this with my clients, is if I were to just plan a trip for me at the two level, then my whole family would basically just sit around the whole time and we would never do anything. So I've learned to bump up to a four when I'm traveling with my family. There was one time where I actually told my husband, we're going to go to Disney World, just the two of us. It'll be a romantic getaway and I'm not going to plan anything. And we're just going to fly by the seat of our pants. We were miserable because he was like, whatever, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, no, you can't whatever me. We got to find something to do. Well, whatever. I don't care about this. And
that sounds like hell to me.
That was the last time I went to Disney World with just him. I mean, it obviously is not his cup of tea. And I was sort of painting this picture of, oh, well, it'll be all different because he'll have a say. He didn't want to say, you know, so
and he didn't really want to
he
say.
Didn't really want to say. He didn't mind being there, but he didn't really have any, he didn't want to make any decisions.
He didn't have to go see the whole thing.
Yeah. He was like, there was nothing he felt passionate about doing. And so it really, what we just basically wandered around. And so now, you know, as we start taking the kids to Europe, I make sure that we have downtime, but we generally have some sort of planned activity, usually some sort of guided activity. Every day, but not
that
all
really
day.
That really comes into play at Disney too, because you know you don't want to stand in line for an hour to eat dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have reservations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Disney is like another level of planning. Yeah,
or you don't want to spend 5 hours in line at the Vatican when you know what? If you just booked a tour, then you're still going to go there, but you're going to not waste half your day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's really important too. One of the important uses of a travel agent. A lot of times for my clients, I end up being the buffer. I'm working with a group right now. It's a perfect example. One person is a five. Everyone else, one or negative two. They want to land the beach. They want to enjoy themselves. They want to do them. The other one's like, we want to do all this organized stuff. And just making sure that the person who, because sometimes the driver of the trip, well, all the time the driver of the trip is the client. It's not the travel agent.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I've been able to do for this particular group is help them reach a little more harmony and maybe not making everyone do everything that one person wants to do and making sure that everyone's needs are met. And that's it's good to have that buffer because you don't want to be that person with your group of friends or your group of family that is, well, we're going to do it this way. And that creates friction, and that's where it's just, sometimes it's nice to have a unbiased
yes We can listen and tell when the person is saying, no, really, whatever is fine. And when they're saying, well, I'm just going to say whatever is fine because I know you're going to do whatever you want to do. Because that actually, you know, that can happen too. And a travel agent can be a nice guidance counselor / mediator in that situation, asking important questions.
We don't have any personal past history or
agenda,
or agenda of somebody's actions. So,
one thing for big groups, I think that's important is to let them know that it's okay to not do everything together, mm-hmm. because you will need that time apart, depending on how you know how long you're going to be going or whatever. It's always good to separate and come back.
Yeah. Although I have one huge family that I love working with, and they do everything together when they go to Disney World, and we're talking 21 people, and they do everything together. And it's so funny because I'll get these little text messages that we're wandering through Magic Kingdom like a little tumbleweed, just our little pack, just sort of rolling through, and I can just see all these people sort of like rolling through, you know, as this huge group. But they love each other so much, and they actually enjoy doing that. And I think it's very unique. There's probably like five American families that are like that, and I get to work with one of them.
I mean, I love my family, but I love that they'll go off and do their own thing, mm-hmm. and we can all come back and have.
Well, and it's you know, a lot of our clients come to us having not used travel agents before, or having kind of booked their own travel online, and they're just discovering kind of the incredible gift of having a travel agent, mm-hmm. and they forget some of the things that we can kind of take off their back. Mm-hmm. And one of the family groups that I've just recently kind of become associated with was contemplating all taking a cruise together. And one of the people, I thought this was so telling, one of the people texted me today and said, between you and I think it's super hard getting everyone together personally, and everyone is trying to be nice but wants something different. And I said, that's great, because different is my specialty. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can handle this for you. And she said, I keep forgetting that you can handle, you know, mm-hmm. they think our job is just book the tickets. Mm-hmm. You know, but if we do have four families and they're all trying together, that's part of what we're here for, is to kind of listen. Mm-hmm. You know, to listen to all those families and to make sure that this trip is best for each of them.
And to advocate for all of them, you know, listen to what each one of them finds important, and then mm-hmm. say, you know, and even reminding them, you know, I've talked people out of visiting cities because when I ask them, well, what do you want to do in this? And I don't mean to say that. It's more, they want to see 10 cities in one trip. And I'm like, okay, we got to narrow this down. And so I asked them, well, why do you want to go to city X? And they're like, oh, well, everyone at work is telling me that it's a must visit. I'm like, yeah, we're going to scratch that one off. Because you don't really want to go there. Other people are just telling you. So it's those sorts of things where we can help you release those, you know, those peer pressure kind of things, or even that, you know, if you're the group leader and you're like, well, I don't know what everybody wants to do, and it's stressing me out because I'm not sure they're telling me the truth, then that we can help with that too. Cause they'll probably tell us the truth because there's no emotional.
They'll tell the third party the truth. They're not going to say to Aunt, they don't want to hurt Aunt Linda's feelings or Uncle Joe's feelings. They want, you know, they want to keep the peace, and we can be a good bridge for that. And one other thing that I've encountered a lot is some people who really love to plan, they are hesitant to reach out to a travel agent because they feel like they're going to lose control of their vision or their dream, mm-hmm. And of their vacation. And that's just, if we're the good travel agent, it should never be the case, because our job is to assist you in making that dream happen. Whatever way that might be, to make sure that you are getting what you are envisioning, and making sure that you're not going to miss out on something that you wouldn't have known about otherwise, or lose the value in your trip by, in this case, trying to do too much. So it's just one of the things that I've encountered is people, you know, fives. Yeah. Us fives don't want to lose that control, you know. But sometimes, you know, and I outed myself as a five, as a planner. There is something really nice and relaxing about knowing that because I trust Sandy. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to. Sandy's not a stranger. I trust her to know. She knows me well enough. She knows what I like to do. She knows,
like, adventure.
You know, she knows how much you love rafting and tubing and hiking.
We travel together.
Yeah. Well, actually,
the other thing is that you know, that I've found is that sometimes when you have a group of people and they're all traveling together and you have a couple of fives, you can split up the fiveness.
So that's, you know, a good thing.
Yeah. Elizabeth is in charge of finding the great places to have dinner, you know, and Lindsay is in charge of, you know, finding the really cool places to take pictures, or, you know, that people can have input and be part of that without, you know, everybody just kind of having to think of everything, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Well, and I think that's that whole idea of when you need a travel agent. If you're a non-planner, too, you think, well, what do I need a travel agent for? Because I'm not going to pre-book anything. But you're going to pre-book a few things. And then there's that additional security of making sure that you haven't booked yourself the wrong airport, or, you know, you went to the wrong San Jose. And then likewise, you're high-level five planners. You know, one of my favorite clients, and I'll give him a shout at Franklin, is that he's a fantastic traveler. He often travels solo. He travels for work a lot. He has a lot of mileage points. He is a great client. He'll call me. He'll be like, I want this ship, this sail date, this cabin type, preferably this cabin if it's still available. Book it. And it, you know, one could argue that I become an order taker, but then I'm there for him after the sale. I'm there so that he can ask questions. Well, have you ever been on this cruise line? You know, and he may ask me some of those questions beforehand, but he'll want tips about the actual experience. He wants to pick all of the detailed bits and bobs of it, but then he wants my expertise on the back end. So that's great.
And I have a couple of clients who are the same thing. They've been booking their own trips for years. And they said, and they originally became my client because I was able to find them a better value on a trip they were taking. Mm-hmm. But now they'll say sometimes, and they like to bike a lot, and they go with a certain company, and they'll call and say, we want this trip, you know, we want to go to Provence, we want to go to July 15th. But what he said, the thing that we've learned your value of is that it's like having you during the trip mm-hmm. and after the trip, that if there's anything going on, you know, that we know we can call you and say, oh my gosh, we forgot. Can you book our transfer? It's 2 days before. Can you go ahead and make that happen for us? Or, you know, or that you're there during it. When you walk into a, you know, a hotel room, it's not what we wanted, that we can text you. And you are working on it while we're out taking a food tour.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so, you know, there's that kind of value to be had, you know, for the folks who do like to, you know, and I've challenged some of my friends who say, I'm sorry I don't use you. I just love to plan my own travel. And I say, go ahead, mm-hmm. plan it and bring it to me. And then let me give you some feedback in it and or see what you found in pricing and how I might be able to help you in that and make suggestions. And if you like the suggestions I make, you know, then I can put the whole thing together for you. And you know, because you planned most of it, it's exactly what you want. But I'm there for you every step of the way with the little nuances you didn't think about.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com and click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away, and please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Lindsay, Donna, Laura, Elizabeth, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.